The following is presented as a ministry of Calvary Community Church.
The one who does not believe in God has not believed the witness, has made God a liar, because he has not believed the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. What do you do when you don't feel saved? What should you do when you doubt your salvation? I think one of the greatest needs in the Christian life is the need for the assurance of salvation. It's just bottom line, a basic need. Some Christians actually teach that it's sinful and presumptuous to claim that they are saved. Some of us have been taught even that, I'm sure, as we have grown up or we've been introduced to the Christian faith, that, you know, it's a little presumptuous to say that you're saved. Maybe you should just say you hope you're saved. Or, isn't there even a verse that says, don't let any man think a little too highly of himself? Aren't you doing that when you claim to say that you're saved? How can you know that? You know, one day after an especially moving service, Queen Victoria was leaving St. Paul's Cathedral in London when she spotted her personal chaplain, and the service had really brought some things to her mind, and she was ready to give her life to Jesus Christ. And she asked her chaplain simply this. She said, "Can I be sure? Can I know for sure that I have eternal life? Can I know that I'm going to heaven?" And her chaplain turned to her and said, "Your Majesty, that is not possible to know. No one can know that for sure." You know, sadly, a lack of assurance among people is not just limited to royalty, but it's epidemic among believers as well. You know, it's not a luxury for a Christian to know that he or she is saved. It is not a luxury, but a necessity. I believe it's the birthright of every true believer in the family of God. So, let's get practical. What do you do when you don't feel saved? Well, what do you do? I think the primary thing that you need to do right away is realize something very important. You might want to jot it down, but realize this, that we don't judge our salvation based upon our feelings. We don't judge whether or not we're saved based on how we feel. We're saved by grace through faith. That's what saves us. And we aren't saved by feelings. Feelings, they can come and go. We are saved by holy facts. The facts of who God is, what he has promised, what Jesus Christ has done for us. Holy facts save us, not holy feelings. We're not saved simply because we feel saved. We're not saved because we got goosebumps during the worship time at a service and, oh, you know, the hair just stood up on my head. For some of you, that would be difficult for the hair to do that. There isn't any there, but not talking about anybody in particular, just. But you know, feelings, you can get the same goosebumpy feeling by watching a horror movie in the theater. You know, you go watch some terrible thing like that and you'll get goosebumps, all right. You know, you'll get chills up and down your spine. I mean, a cold breeze can do the same thing, right? Is that salvation? Is that what you base your knowledge of salvation on? Oh, I just feel the presence of God, you know. Come on. Salvation isn't by feeling, it's by fact. It's like buying a house, sort of. Some of you have gone out, you've bought new homes, and you've moved into that new house, and at first, you might even be catching each other saying, you know, this doesn't feel like our house, does it? We walk in these doors, this feels like we're living in someone else's house. But the fact is, every month you're stuck with that payment. It is your house, right? You're going to be stuck with that for 30 years. It's your house. You entered into a legal agreement. It's based on a contract, based on a covenant, on a promise. Marriage illustrates this really beautifully because, you know, when you're married and you first walk down the aisle and you stand up together and you make those beautiful promises to each other, and then you walk down the aisle as the music is playing, it's just, you know, wonderful wedding day, and that first week of marriage on the honeymoon, it's just a beautiful time, and you may not feel married. It takes a couple of weeks to begin to remember to say, this is my wife. And at first you say it and it's sort of like, oh, wife. Never thought I'd be saying those words. And she's thinking, husband, this is my husband. Oh, he's my husband. And you sort of get used to the idea, but you know you're married because you made a promise. You signed an agreement. You had witnesses there. 5 or 10, 15 years go by. You may have a bad married day, and you may not feel married anymore. Doesn't matter, you still are, right? Your marriage is not based on feelings. It's a legal agreement you've made, and it's based on facts. Now, when we are talking about not feeling saved, we have to realize that feelings can be wonderful, but they can also, you know, they'd be seeds of great, wondrous things, but it can also be the seed of big discouragement in your life as well. Feelings come and go. You can't base everything on how you feel. You have to follow through even if you don't feel safe. You know, Harry Emerson Fosdick said that when he was younger, his dad used to tell him about once a week, son, if you feel like it today, I want you to mow the lawn. And he'd get in the car and he'd begin to back out of the driveway. And just as he was turning onto the street, he'd roll his window down and he'd holler out, oh, and son, make sure that you feel like it today. And that's sort of the way you need to treat feelings, you know? You might not feel particularly saved today, but, you know, just feel it anyway. Just believe it anyway. Trust God anyway. When it comes to feelings, watch that you don't mix faith with feelings. Don't substitute faith for feeling. Feelings do not equal faith. Faith does not equal a feeling. Watch it. Someone once asked Martin Luther, do you feel that you've been forgiven? And Luther answered, no, I don't feel forgiven, but I'm as sure as there's a God in heaven, for feelings come and go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Our salvation is based on grace. As we grow in the Lord, He builds our feelings, or I might say He rebuilds our feelings to come into harmony with the truths that we are learning. Just remember this. Be my feelings what they will. Jesus is my Savior still. Can you say that with me? Be my feelings what they will. Jesus is my Savior still. Don't be watching your feelings. There's not one verse from Genesis to Revelation that tells us that we're saved by feelings. The Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. Now let's look at some of the reasons a person may not feel saved. There are some valid reasons why you might not feel saved. And the first and the foremost is that you're not saved. Oh, no. You're kidding. No, it's true. If you have not experienced the new birth, you are not saved regardless how you feel. You can go bathe yourselves in religious feelings. You can go and bathe yourself in ritual and in stained glass and liturgy, and you cannot be saved. Salvation is not by ritual. Salvation is not by religious rites performed for you. Salvation is not by church membership. Salvation can only come by faith in Jesus Christ and personally putting your faith in Him, personally making the step to believe in Him, to accept Him as your Savior, to say, yes, I want the gift of eternal life, and you have to ask Him. Faith comes by speaking the mouth, by using the mouth and saying, I believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to save me. I accept your gift. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is how salvation comes. Now, there are some real marks to being saved. There are some distinguishing characteristics of a Christian. One is a change of life. Someone has described the Christian life as a changed life, and they were right. A change of habits will always accompany salvation. A change of enjoyments. A change of loves, a change of thinking. You think differently. Your mind is different than it used to be. A change of heart. And one day, praise the Lord, a change of address. We're going to heaven. But the Christian life is characterized by major change. But not only that, it's characterized by love. This would be another evidence in your life. You'll love God's word now that you're saved. You want to hear it. You have a hunger for it. You want to read it. You love God's people. You really sincerely love the brothers and sisters. You love God's fellowship. You want to spend time with God, not just in public, but in private. And you love to please the Lord. You want to learn the things that He likes. You want to stay away from the things that aren't pleasing to Him. There are evidences. Are they in your life? Are you sure that you committed your life to Jesus Christ? I've never known anybody that didn't know they were married. I know some would like to forget, but I don't know anybody that doesn't know they're married. I mean, that's something that you know you've done. You've entered into that covenant, into that agreement. And the same thing is true with salvation in Jesus Christ. You will know it if you were really saved. Did you ever ask Him? Well, I was baptized as a baby. It doesn't work. It was great that your parents had that kind of faith. It was great that your parents showed that they wanted to introduce you to the things of the Lord at an early age. But that does not save anybody. Baptism, whether it's baby or adult, hasn't saved a soul. We're not saved by water. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but by His mercy through the washing of regeneration. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:3-5. So the Bible is clear that you must make sure that you're born again. And born again didn't start in the 70s. It started with Jesus when He said, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. So the Bible says to make your calling and your election sure. So the first reason why you might not feel saved is because you aren't saved. So get saved. Secondly, if you are saved, now going on with believers, speaking now to believers, what if you don't feel saved? I would say you ought to look at the fact that maybe it is ignorance of the truth, a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding that is causing you to not feel saved. If you have never been clearly taught about the truths of salvation and security and what the Lord thinks of you as His child, then you know what? You are going to think that your salvation is just like every other relationship in your life, and that means that it's based on a conditional love, a conditional acceptance. I mean, I know some of us have incredible relationships with people that just love us and we think unconditionally, but listen, the only one who really loves you without any hitches, without any strings attached, without any kind of qualification is God. He's the only one that loves you that way. He's the only one that will never get sick of you. He's the only one that will never get tired of you. He's the only one who will never reject you. You have got to see that the relationship you have with Father in heaven through His Son Jesus Christ is different than any other relationship. You know, in human relationships, as long as we do things that people like, they like us. As long as we say things people say, they'll like it. As long as we say things people like, they'll like us. As long as we don't offend them, they'll like us. But if you don't do any of the above, the relationship tends to go like this, sort of on the downhill. And so we are programmed as human beings to really believe that the love that God has for us is conditional. It's conditioned upon our doing the right things. Not so. Our relationship with God is conditioned upon one thing, and that is He has chosen to love us. And that choice never changes. Regardless how you behave, regardless where you are, regardless of the circumstances, His love does not change. He loves you, remember this, 100%, 100% of the time. It just never changes, you guys. You've got to grip this. You've got to grasp this. If you don't, that is a real indication that you have got a misunderstanding of how you're being saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. I believe you are. But I think you think it's based on what you do just a little bit. Just a little bit. Come on. Think so. I've got three children. What they do not make them my children. They are my children because they were born to me. By the miracle that God gives, they were born into our family. And, you know, even on those days when I would like to say, these are not my kids. They're still my kids, aren't they? There's no way around it. And you can say, well, you could adopt them out. It's been thought of before, but no, not really. Even if I did that, who am I fooling? They are still my children. You say, well, yeah, but somebody's changed that. They're still my children. You go take a genetic test, you're going to find me and my wife, you know? So when it comes to the new birth, you've been born into God's family. You are His children. And you may have days when the world may look and say, you don't look like your dad at all. You're not acting like your Father in heaven at all. In fact, you look like that other guy's kid right now, the way you're acting, you know? But you are still the child of God. Your behavior needs to change. You need some lessons in obedience and lessons in how to act in your family. I mean, act like a child of God. But it doesn't make you. Your behavior doesn't make you a child of God. That happened by what God did for you, not what you did. So, ignorance of salvation can cause us, you know, ignorance of how salvation works can cause us to lose that assurance. Now, don't equate losing the assurance with losing salvation. It's just a feeling that's gone. God saved us how? Well, when God saved you and God saved me, God saved us like God would save us. And that means He saved us knowing a lot of things. Does God know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? Hello? Okay, just thought maybe we needed to go back up another step or two. Of course God does. Now you're just being quiet because you don't want to interrupt or anything. Does God know what's going to happen to you in 2 years? Yes. Okay, does God know what happened 2,000 years ago? Yes, God is all-knowing, you know, that's a basic, you know, that's theology 101 or theology 10 or something, you know, it's God knows everything, okay, hang on to that thought. When God saved you, God didn't save you not knowing what you would do after you were saved, correct? God saved you, you might say, put it in modern terms, with the whole computer printout. You know, you were on the screen. Everything, beginning to end of your life, was all on the screen. The wonderful thing is he saved you anyway. You know? He's not looking and saying, ooh, 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 I'm impressed with that one. Let's save him. We want people like that in heaven. Those goody-goodies. Let's get them. God saved you because he chose to love you, not on the basis of your grade average, not on the basis of how well you're doing, but on the basis of his grace. Now, you say, yeah, as long as I hang on to him. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to talk about that. God saves you as long as you're hanging on to him. That very popular thought in Christianity. God saves you as long as you're hanging on to him. You let go of him, he lets go of you. Let's think about that just for a minute. Just yesterday, I went for a walk with the kids, the two older children. We went out, and we were walking around and decided to cross a very, very busy street. Saturdays, it's like rush hour all day long, isn't it, in this city? It's just, man, what is going on? You know, everybody's going. Everybody's doing something. And so the street was extremely busy. The traffic was really heavy. And I didn't want to have to walk all the way down to the crosswalk. So I decided, well, let's do that all-American thing. Let's jaywalk, you know? Okay. I never, ever knew if it's, is it really illegal to jaywalk? I mean, would the policeman really give me a ticket for it? I don't know. So based on ignorance, I decided that we go for it. So now it's very busy. Now I got these little kids with me, and I said, now girls, hold on to my hands. So they both took a hand, and I said, now we're going to cross, and you hold on to my hand, and you just follow me. So as the traffic began to let up, and I saw there was a break, and I could tell that there was enough time for us to cross the street, even though there was still some traffic coming, I proceeded. So we start going across the street. Now, holding on. But about midway through, got through two lanes, got into that middle lane, and one of them decides that she can do this, and she starts to let go of me. Well, I thought, you know, if you let go of me, I let go of you, okay? And you're on your own. Go get splatted. Go get run over. It's okay with me. Right? Isn't that what I did? I'm a loving father. Isn't that what I did? I mean, as long as you hold on to me, I'll hold on to you. But if you let go of me, it's curtains. Now, if I did that, if the newspapers came and there was an injured child on the road and they said, what happened? I said, she let go of me. You know, she's 4 years old. She let go of me. I let go of her. That's the way it works, right? They'd get the police. I should be arrested. Well, why is Father in heaven not as good? Why is he not presented as good as some crummy earthly father? Why? Do you really believe that when you get to life's troubled intersections, and there in the excitement of a trial or the trouble or the temptation, you start to let go, you really think God says, oh, okay, you let go of me, go get crashed in this trial, go get run over in this, you're not my child right now till you rejoin with me. I mean, come on. You know what I did as we were crossing? When she started to let go of me, you know what I did to her? You know, it's like, nope, the iron grip on that little hand. And she could have run, and I would have just been holding on to her, you know? So I'd have an arm in my hand, a dislocated kid or something, but she wasn't getting out of my grip. Not on your life. Why? Because I love her. because I, as a human dad, love my little girl. I'm not going to let go of her. She wanted to go. I wouldn't let her go. That is a perfect parable of salvation. God will not let you go. Oh, but get your butt out of it. There's always, oh, but. Instead, trust the Lord. Believe in his love. It's doubting the love of God. God hangs on to those that are truly his children. Like I said, the issue earlier is not, can I be lost, but am I really saved to begin with? That is the big issue. Am I really saved to begin with? So we see you can doubt your salvation based on a couple of reasons. One is you're not saved to begin with, but then as Christians, it could be ignorance. I really don't understand how good God is. That's why I'm thinking I could be lost. I didn't know Daddy wouldn't let go of me. I didn't know my Father in heaven, my dear Abba Father, I didn't know that he would never let go of me. And you say, well, what's your scripture proof for that? John 10. Obviously, you've never read it. John chapter 10. Very clearly, Jesus says toward the end of the chapter, I know my sheep, they know me, they follow me, they hear my voice, I know their names. He goes through the whole thing. And then he says, and no one shall pluck them out of my hand. Then he says, my Father who is greater than all holds them, and no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, in this purpose of salvation, Jesus has got a grip on you. God has a grip on you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13 says, which guarantees the fact that you're going to heaven. Read it in Ephesians 1:13 sometime. 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed again until the day of redemption. It's pretty clear. God has a grip on us and he's not going to let go. And the issue really is not a big theology issue. The issue is, do I really understand the love of God? Now, a third reason why I think sometimes we doubt our salvation, or we don't feel saved, is because we are under spiritual attack. I think you might, right now, if that's what you're struggling with, one of the things that could be the cause is that you are being attacked by the enemy. I mean, you're getting assaulted by the fiery missiles of the enemy, trying to go to the very heart of your Christian experience, which is the assurance of salvation. I have been on both sides. I've lived on both sides of this experience. I have lived on the no assurance side. When we sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, it didn't make sense. Because he might not be mine tomorrow, especially if I flubbed up or let go of him. And then I've lived on the other side where I know I'm saved because God's word says, if I have the Son, I have the life. And that if I've been born again into his family, I can't be unborn again. I'm secure. And I'll have to tell you that living on this side, the side of assurance, has really been a motivation in my life to serve the Lord. You know, the other side, I mean, if you can be saved and lost, it's sort of like a yo-yo. You know, up and down, up and down. If you can be saved and lost like that, after a while you just say, well, what's the reason for this? I mean, I'm going to go to hell anyway. Might as well live like hell. And you throw the towel in and you go away from the Lord. But if you know you're saved, oh, I'm not working anymore. I'm not trying to get his favor. I have his favor. No baby that's born to a family has to get their favor. You know, well, I don't know if I like him or not. I've never heard a mother and father say that about their baby. I don't know about that. I put it back. You know, I don't want this one. You know, like, come on. The Lord loves you. You have his favor. Spiritually, the enemy wants to attack. He wants to try to discourage. He knows that an insecure Christian is an easy target for discouragement. for temptation, for falling. Fourthly, another reason I believe that people doubt their salvation is sin in their life. Sin. Nothing will cause you to lose your joy and assurance faster than trying to hide sin or to hang on to sin in your life. I mean, when we sin, we go to the Lord, we thank Him for His forgiveness, we let Him wash our hands, you know, in a very practical way. We leave with a sense of His great love and the pardon that He's offered us through the cross. And the matter is over, but when you hide it, you try to hide it? The other day, the kids were playing in the bedroom. One of them had something they weren't supposed to have, and when I came in, I saw her shove it under a pillow real fast. Now, how do I feel as a dad? I didn't feel rage. What is that under the pillow? Because I saw what it was. She wasn't fast enough, you know? If you're going to do it right. Doesn't have the technique down yet. She's not that good. My first reaction was sort of laugh, you know. Oh, come on, Ellie. I mean, I shouldn't have said who it was. But, I mean, come on. You can do better than that. But then my second feeling was sadness that she would hide it from me. Why? And this was something really that wasn't that big a deal, you know. It really wasn't. I said something they shouldn't have. Now I think about it, it wasn't. It was a hairbrush. I mean, it wasn't that. Why did you hide it? And so I said, honey, what's under the pillow? And I was so proud of her. She lifted the pillow and she said, this. I was glad that she had that response. It didn't complicate things. And, you know, we're talking about, you don't have to hide that. Why were you hiding that? That look they give you. Don't try to hide things from Father in heaven. You're not fast enough. The Bible says to be sure your sin will find you out anyway. And one of the ways it finds you out is you lose your joy. Not because Father rejects you, but because you can't live with yourself. You cannot live in that state of hiding something from Him. You're not created to live that way in your new creation. David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, tried to get away with it. Remember, about a year he lived that way, and his life was miserable. He even got sick. Life was so bad, so miserable. And finally, he confessed it all and came to the Lord, found the pardon and grace and love of God right there. But, you know, what he prays in Psalm 51 is so insightful. He says, Lord, restore unto me again the joy of my salvation. He lost his joy. What I think is significant also is that he didn't pray, restore unto me again salvation. I've lost my salvation. And he sinned in a pretty gnarly way, didn't he? It was not one of those nice little polite sins. God forgave him, but he needed the joy back. Some of us, that's where we're at. It's a matter of going to the Lord now and just lifting the pillow. What's hiding? Take it to the Lord. And then the fifth thing I see in the last of these that I'll share is I think sometimes one of the reasons we can begin to doubt our salvation is when we go through a prolonged time of sickness or illness or some kind of a huge stress on your life that begins to just begin to cause you to have a physical collapse. It can happen. Maybe you have a long-term illness, or maybe you have a terminal illness. You need to understand that what affects us physically affects every other area of our lives. And we aren't just physical beings. The Bible says, may the Lord preserve you, body, soul, and spirit. We are beings that are threefold in our nature. We are bodies, we are souls, mind, will, and emotion, and we are spirits, all living together as one. That is the image of God, I believe, in our lives. We are created in the image of God. God is a triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are a triunity, body, soul, and spirit. We mirror the image of God. Now, what affects you physically will affect you in soul and spirit. It'll affect your mind, will, and emotions, won't it? Get the flu and tell me how you feel. Whoa.
We're conducting a survey right now of those who feel saved. Do you feel saved right now?
I guess I'm saved. I mean, at that point, it can affect you. Now, of course, the flu isn't the worst thing you could ever get. As things grow bigger and deeper and more serious in your life, sometimes they can affect the way you think. Other times they can affect your emotions. And that can affect you spiritually. See, this is why we aren't saved by faith alone. What? The Bible doesn't say you're saved by faith alone. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith alone. You see, it's the grace that keeps you saved. It's wonderful that you have a great grip on God, faith. But what happens when life throws you such a punch that your grip isn't as strong as it used to be? I mean, think about it sitting right now. If you were holding on to something and some big dude came up to you and gives you a big sock in the stomach and a big knock on the head, you might lose your grip on what's in your hand, right? You go, oh, and just the pain of what you're experiencing might cause you to just momentarily at least lose your grip. At that point, you need to understand in the spiritual realm, God's grace holds you. It's not just your faith. Going back to our earlier analogy of crossing the street. It's not my grip on God that saves me. It is God's grip on me. That is what saves me. That is grace. He hangs on to me even when I don't deserve to be hung on to. And he won't let go of me when I deserve to be let go of. He's treating me with unmerited favor. Oh, so cool. And biblically, we have many examples of men throughout the scripture who, in the physical problems that they have or the trial they're in, they lose their faith. John the Baptist is an example of somebody who was out there by the riverside. He's out there preaching, repent, believe. And then he sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that person, the Messiah, walks right down into the water right where he is. And John baptizes Jesus. And then John sees the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus in bodily form as a dove. And then we see John hears the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, I'm telling you, he had a lot of evidence to believe, didn't he? I haven't seen that. And I believe in the Lord. John saw that. He should believe. But old Herod, remember later on, old Herod arrests John because he doesn't like the way he's preaching. He wasn't politically correct at all. And he was saying things about the ruler that the ruler didn't like, so he arrested him, and he threw him in the dungeon. And there in that dungeon, sitting in his own excrement, there in that dungeon, fighting away the rats at night, in that dungeon, maybe getting a crust of bread once in a while, maybe getting a little water, in that darkness where he couldn't see a thing, he began to lose it. And he sent a messenger who asked Jesus, are you the one or should we expect someone else? I mean, he is doubting. Oh, bad John the Baptist. No. Does anybody think that? If you do, you haven't been in a dungeon yet. You haven't been in one of life's dark places. You haven't been in one of life's dungeons. At that moment, Jesus just sent him back in words of encouragement. John, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. In those times, You can expect that when you are physically afflicted or attacked, spiritually you're going to be afflicted and attacked. Don't doubt your salvation. Don't doubt it. The Lord is just as real as He's always been. He's just as true as He's always been. His promises are just as sure as they've ever been. Job experienced the same thing. Now, about Job, the Bible says that God said to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's not a righteous man like him on the whole face of the earth." So what's God's opinion of Job? Pretty good, isn't it? I would say so. But when all hell breaks loose in Job's life and he loses all his finances and he loses all his family, except his wife, and he loses all of his health, as you read through the book of Job, no, Job never cursed God. That's correct. But Job does question, "Hey, where are you? You seem to be with everybody else, and you seem to have created everything else, and you're with everything else, but what about me? Why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Why? What have I done to deserve this?" And he had those feelings. And was he ever forsaken by God? No way. You see, God's grace, through the tough times, keeps us, holds us. Whether you feel it or not, it doesn't matter. You're not saved by how you feel. Saved by God's grace. Okay, what do you do if you're struggling right now with not feeling saved? Or maybe this is a chronic thing in your life. It comes and goes. Maybe there's one big sin in your life. This is usually the way it works, you know, and you do the big one, you know, that you struggle with, and, "Oh, I must not even be saved." What do you do? How do you combat this? Okay, I'm going to give you three things. They're simple. Write them down. You might not need them, but I bet you know somebody that does. Write them down. Simple. I want you to write, "Hold on, hang around, and hang up." Write those three things, and then I'll give you we'll fill it out. Number one, hold on. Number two, hang around. Number three, hang up. Here we go. Let's fill out number one. What to do? Hold on to the facts. Hold on to the facts. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of judgment into life." You have eternal life. Jesus is speaking there. John 1:12, "To as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God." To say you're a child of God is not presumption, it's a fact. As we read in 1 John 5, "He who has the Son has the life." That's just a fact. Hold on to it. "He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. These things I've written to you who believe, in order that you may know you have eternal life." That's the fact. Hold on to it. Philippians 1:6 says that God, who began the good work in your life, is going to complete it to the very day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the work that He's begun in your life. He doesn't start things and not finish them. Those are the facts. Hold on to the facts. Secondly, hang around God's people. Hang around God's people. The thing that a person who struggles with assurance shouldn't do is stay away because you feel so hypocritical. Oh, come and join the rest of us hypocrites, okay? Come on, we're all hypocritical. I think that's so stupid when people say, "I'm not going to that church, it's full of hypocrites." It's like, well, what are you? What do you think you are? A hypocrite is someone who's inconsistent in their life. You're inconsistent. "I am not." Let me talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. We're all hypocrites. saved or unsaved. We don't want to be. What you don't need to do is stay away. You need to hang with believers. You need to hang around God's people. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Oh, this is so great. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Okay? Hold on now. Hang on to the facts. Don't waver. "For he who promised is faithful." This is all God's work, the work of salvation. As Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. But he goes on to say, hang around God's people. Verse 24. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Hey, the reason we come together is to be encouraged. We're encouraged by singing. We're encouraged by praising. We're encouraged by sitting among so many believers. We're encouraged by hearing the Word of God. We're encouraged by something somebody says to us. Now, note this, that every week, every time we meet together, you may come together three times in one day, but every time we meet together, you are going to bump into somebody that is struggling with this, and they need encouragement from you. I go, "For me, I mean, who am I?" You are God's appointed means of encouraging somebody else. That's who you are. "Well, I don't know what I could say." Well, why don't you just, number one, be nice, be friendly. They're coming in feeling low as low can be, and they need somebody who'll smile and say, "Hi. Hi, I'm so-and-so. It's good that you're here today, you know?" That's what the body's all about. We're here to encourage one another. It isn't, you know, like, "Okay, feed me." You know? "I've come to be fed." How ridiculous. That's the way the world is, you know? Me, 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 me. Hang around God's people. God's people will encourage you. You'll sense the Holy Spirit. I don't mean feel as much as I mean you'll sense the Spirit of God in the midst of God's people. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He specially manifests Himself. Now, thirdly, we said hold on to the facts, hang around God's people, and thirdly, hang up on doubt. Just hang up on that voice that harasses you and tells you the lie that you're not saved. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. You have caller ID? You see the number first, 666. Then you see his name, devil. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, it's the devil. I'd better answer it. I want to see what he has to say to discourage me today. Hello?
Hello? What makes you think you're saved? The way you've been living. The way you look.
Oh, this is the worst.
The way you feel. You know how bad you're feeling right now.
Why do you listen to it? Hang up. Don't answer to begin with if you know who it is. Don't answer. Why do you need to answer? What's he going to tell you? You don't know. I mean, who? You ever get one of those obscene phone calls? I got one once, and you know, it started, you need to get saved, you know, and if I had a whistle, I'd blow it in your ear right now, you know, I hung up. I didn't listen. I mean, if you listen, you've got a problem that we're not addressing this morning, okay? But you got problems. Make an appointment with one of the pastors. You would hang up on that garbage. Why is it you listen to doubt? Why is it you think, oh, I heard a voice that said that. I thought a thought that thought that, so it must be true. We told you, hold on to the facts. Hang around God's people and hang up on doubt. Never, never doubt in the darkness what God has revealed to you in the light. If God in the light has shown you you're his child, then why would that ever change? Never doubt in the dark times what God has revealed to you in the light. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hang on to it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the promises that it contains, for the revelation of your love that it is to us. Who would ever love us like this? Oh, Father, thank you for holding on to us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for working the change and the love into our lives. And now, Lord, we desire with all our hearts to hang on to this confidence, to not throw it away. In Jesus' name.
This Bible study resource has been presented as an outreach of Calvary Community Church at Calvary Chapel in Phoenix, Arizona. Our service times are Saturday evening at 6, Sunday mornings at 7:45, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m., Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesday evenings at 7. For more information on the ministries here at Calvary, feel free to email us at calvary@calvaryphx.com. Phone is toll-free at 888-970-3030. Or visit us online at calvaryphx.com. And now it's our prayer that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.